Morning. Today's scripture reading will be 2 Peter 3, verse 3 through 7. Know this first of all, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens exist long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at the time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men."
Good morning. If you're one of our guests today, we sure are glad to have you with us, because you've come to the friendliest church that you could have come to, and I say this with happiness in my heart. On the Sunday when football is once again being played in the NFL. I know it's just a preseason, and I know some people say, "Oh, preseason games don't matter." Yes, they do. It's been put off now for several months because of other sports, basketball, and baseball, and hockey, but now we got a real man sport out there. Well, in our current series of lessons, we're looking for practical ways to restore the values that made families strong in the days of their little house on the prairie. However, we live in a time when the pace of this nation is a lot faster than it was back in those days. And so our series is entitled Little House on the Freeway. In today's lesson, we're going to learn that the answer to how we can live this way is not more time. The answer isn't about more time. Let me ask, do you struggle to get all the things that you need to do? Do you struggle to get those done in one day? Do you wish that there were 10 more hours in a day? And if there was, what would you do with them? Well, I know what I would do. I would fill them with good things, perhaps even great things. For instance, I would learn to play a new instrument. Currently, I play the accordion, but that's kind of a nerdy instrument. So I'm thinking about taking up the guitar once I get those 10 extra hours. And I would practice hospitality with my neighbors more if I had those hours. I'd spend more time with my kids and my grands. I would become a chef and cook great meals for my wife the way that she has cooked great meals for me for the last 40 plus years of our time together. I'd also like to get back into shape. Now, I know some of you might tell me, "Rick, round is a shape." Yes, I know. I'm getting rounder all the time. I'd like to travel with Chris to places that I've been before, but this time, experience them with her. We'd go a lot of interesting places. I'd like to read Isaac Asimov's entire Foundation series. I would write haiku poetry. I'd learn how to hang glide. And then I'd, wait a minute, I think I've used up my 10 hours. You see, that's my point. The solution to an overly busy life is not more time. Because, as somebody was mentioning right over here, that we would just fill that time with more stuff that we wouldn't be able to get done in 10 hours. The solution for us is to slow down, to simplify our lives around things that really and truly matter. The Christian's defining narrative begins in the book of Genesis, the opening book of the Library of Scripture. And in that book, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 tells us that we are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. Peter takes that thought in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, and he says that we might become made partakers of the divine nature. Exciting, interesting stuff. But then we drop down in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, where it says that we were formed from the dust of the ground. So here we have these two things that's true of us. Image and dust. Image and dust. Well, the image of God means that we are spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, we have incredible potential. Incredible potential. We were created. Remember, it says, God says, let us create man in our own image. And so if he decided to create us in his image, then that means we are created beings also. We have the creativity to reshape this world in which we live. Rather incredible potential. But of course, that's only half the story. We're also made from the dust of the ground, which means we have limitations. We have limitations. Thus, our lives have this duality, potential and limitation. You know, it's not unusual for me to say such things as we need to chase our dreams, to step out in faith, to be willing to risk everything for Jesus. Yes, we need to do that as individuals and as a church. You'll hear me say it all the time. But what we hear very little of, whether in the church or outside of the church, is accepting our limitations. You don't usually hear somebody say, well, you need to accept your limitations. Well, in the church, not as much in the world, but in the church, we talk about exceeding our limitations. Accepting our limitations. We don't hear much about that. We hear about we need to learn how to cheat time and space. We need to be more like God. Well, the first time that was said, I think we need to learn something from that. Remember, Eve was told by Satan that if you do what I say, you will become like God in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 5. You see, today, people feel the need to do everything, to watch every new movie, to listen to every podcast, to hear every new song, attend every concert, travel to every state and every country, try every new restaurant, befriend every new face, solve every problem, win every award, make every who's list. I'm tired out just thinking about it. But you know what our culture tells us? Hashtag YOLO. How many of you know what YOLO means? You only live once. And because we hashtag YOLO, we also, the reason for it is, we hashtag FOMO. We hashtag FOMO, which means fear of missing out. That's where so many people are. And what is it with all this hashtag and acronym sort of thing? Where did our kids learn that? Maybe this coming Friday, of course, TGIF, I'll think about that. But wait, I do have good news. Good news for you. In fact, it may even be great news, and this is why I put down those spaces on your sermon outline so you'd put the right words in there. You want to hear some great news? You can't do it all. You can't, and neither can I, because we have limitations. We've got lots of limitations. Let me give you just a few of them. Number one, our bodies. Our bodies are part of our limitations. We're not omnipresent like God is. He can be everywhere and every when at the same moment in time. But we're physical. We're finite. We're stuck in space and time. We're here, right here, like this, now. And not only can our bodies do that, be everywhere and everything and all in one moment, even that, I've learned that I'm getting older. And recently, I was reminded of just how old I must be getting. And so our bodies are part of our limitation. Our minds are part of our limitations. We're not omniscient either, like God is. That means he's all-knowing. We're not all-knowing. even one of the greatest minds that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I believe it's in verse 9, he says, we know in part. We don't know everything. I don't know all that the Bible teaches. I don't know of anybody else who does either. We are limited in that. Our personalities limit us. That's how you're wired, how I'm wired. Some of you are probably extroverts, very outgoing, never met a stranger kind of person, always have a smile on your face, you know, that sort of person. Some of you are that way. Some of you aren't. Some of us are more introverted. We are willing to talk to people, but they're going to have to come up and say hello to us first, and then I might get a little hello out there. Some people are sanguine. That means they're very optimistic. Some people are more mercurial. That means they fluctuate back and forth between whatever mood they are in at that particular time. Our personalities, therefore, are part of our limitation. Our family background, perhaps you might say our origin, where we were born. Some people were born with a leg up. They were born into a family that had a lot of stuff and had the means to provide even more things for them. But then some of us, we were born, let's say, lower middle class, where we just didn't have that silver spoon in our mouth when we were born. There was a lot of things that we did have, but we had to work like crazy to get some of those things. Yeah, you see, we all start out in different places also. For some of us, that's a limitation. Let me give you just two more. One, our education and our careers. Some people are high school dropouts. Some people completed their doctorate, their PhDs. Those kind of educational things that might determine what sort of careers we can have. And our careers talk about such other things as advantages that we're given because of those careers or not. But even then, there are limitations. We're limited also by our giftedness, your talents, your gifts. Those things, some of them help us. Some of them are limiting us. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 said that we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. He's talking to all Christians. All Christians have gifts that differ according to what the grace God has given to us for those things. Even in that first century church, at a time when God was allowing people to perform miracles to it in order to demonstrate that the word that they were speaking actually did come from God. The miracles supplied the evidence for that sort of thing. But even to a church that had a lot of those supernatural manifestations of the Spirit, Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 29 through 31, he says, all are not apostles, are they? No, there are only 12 of those. All are not prophets. No, there are a lot more prophets than there were apostles, but not everybody was a prophet either. All were not teachers. No, none of them were teachers. All of you are not workers of miracle. No, they would say to Paul, no, not all of us can do that. Not all of you have the gift of healing. They would say, no, not all of us have that. All of you don't speak in tongues. All of you don't interpret tongues. They'd say, well, that's certainly true. And so he said, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, this is at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. So he goes right into chapter 13. If you're familiar, 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter where the main theme of that chapter is love. And so at the end of that chapter, he says that there are three. But now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And that's a gift that all of us have been given as well, a gift to show to others, a gift to thank God for as well. But what if limitations, what if the things that limit us, what if those are things that we're not called to fight against, but to gratefully accept as God's call for our lives? You see, I wonder if this is something of that we can have some gain some spiritual insight because of our limitations. is that we find God's will for our lives live in our limitations. The limitations are the things that really help to show us God's will for our lives. You know, I don't believe that it's God's agenda to make poor people into middle-class people, to make middle-class people into rich people. I don't think that that's part of his agenda whatsoever. Jesus blessed people who were poor. In fact, in the greatest sermon ever preached, it starts in Matthew chapter 5 and goes through chapter 7. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, the very first thing that Jesus says is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, those people that he's talking to were poor people. And the thing is that you need to realize is that all of them went to their homes just as poor after that sermon as they were before the sermon. But the fact is that now they were blessed. The words that Jesus taught in that great Sermon on the Mount, those blessed them, and they're still blessing people today. You see, Jesus, if he has an agenda, it's to make the wounded well. This world has a way of beating us up and beating us down. And so we need to have somebody who's willing to help to heal our wounds. And he also came to take those who are broken, because this world can break us also, but to take those who are broken and make them whole. That's what he wants to do. The main limitation, however, that all people have, no matter if they have the alphabet soup after their name, MA, MS, PhD, MD, whatever they have, they, as well as all of us, have the same limitation, and that's time. We're all limited by the amount of time that we have. And the richest person, the Elon Musk of the world, and the poorest person over in Calcutta, India, or Bombay, they have the same 24 hours. We're all limited by our time. You see, life that we do have is a series of choices. With every yes, there are 1,000 no's. A writer named Anne Lamont, she humorously pointed out, saying this, "No is a complete sentence." I like that. No is a complete sentence. You see, every activity that we do means there's some other activities that we're not doing. It's like I tell a couple in our premarital counseling, I will say to them that when I get up there and ask you, do you take this person to be your lawfully wedded husband or your lawfully wedded wife? If you say yes to that, you are saying no to every other person in the world. Every yes has a lot of no's associated with it. And it's so therefore no is a word that we need to work into our vocabulary and perhaps use it a lot more often instead of saying yes to all these things that are just going to be more time wasters on us. Because do you ever wonder if one day you're going to wake up on your deathbed and you're going to have this nagging sense that somehow in all the hurry and the busyness of life, you actually missed out on the important things? Think about it now before you get to your deathbed. But are you missing out? You see, you started a business maybe, but because of that, it may have ended your marriage. You got your kids into their dream college, but you never truly taught them how to know and follow Jesus. You got all those letters after your name, but you learned the hard way that knowledge is not the same thing as wisdom. You made lots of money, but never grew rich in the things that matter most, which aren't things at all. Research by psychologist Philip Zimbardo indicates that by age 21, the average male will spend 10,000 hours playing video games. I have more. There's a book that Zimbardo wrote, and I have some right back there on the other side of those windows. There's a table, and I made about 25 copies of some other things. If parents, if you have young children, you want to go out and grab one of those because he says some things that are pretty much a wake-up call 10,000 hours. What could you do with 10,000 hours? You guys could get your bachelor's degree and your master's degree in 10,000 hours. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this: be careful how you walk. This walk doesn't mean one foot in front of the other. It's talking about your lifestyle. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Let me give you three things just to consider how to redeem that time, how to use that time wisely. In that 20-minute drive that takes you to get to work every single day, you could pray for every member of your family and all your friends, too. Or in that 1 hour of TV before you go to bed, maybe instead of watching the TV, go grab a Bible and read the Bible for that hour. At the end of 6 months, you will have read the Bible through in a year. No, at the end of 6 months, you'll have read the Bible through. At the end of a year, if you do it again, you'll have read the Bible through twice in 1 year. So, are you using that time? How about, I was trying to figure out how to work this. What do we call it now when we stop talking on the phone to somebody? What is that called? We used to call it when you hang up. Does anybody still hang up a phone? Do some of you that are less than 20 years old, do you know what I'm talking about? They used to have, never mind. But the thing is that what you can do, it's something I'm trying to do, is that when somebody calls me on the phone, when I stop talking or I push the button, when that happens, I pray for that person, and if it's appropriate, also for the situation they called to talk with me about. So if you ever want somebody to pray for you, give me a call. I'll do that. But that's something you can do. When the person gets done talking, pray for them and pray for that situation. You see, brethren, every day is a chance. Every moment is an opportunity. And every second is a gift. So to the Meadows family here, the question you might be asking is, okay, Rick, so how exactly do we slow down, simplify, and live deliberately in our little house on the freeway? How exactly do we do that? Well, the answer is really quite easy, of course. It's we follow Jesus. You say, yeah, but how do we do that? That's what our next lesson is going to be about. If you're one of our guests, however, understand, yes, every moment is a gift. That's why it's called the present. In fact, as you can see on that screen behind me there, James says in James chapter 4 and verse 14, you do not know what your life is going to be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that's here for a little while and then you vanish away. And so you see, we don't really know if we're going to have the time. So what we need to do is we need to make sure we do the things now so that there won't have to worry about there not being enough time later. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, he told them about their past and what God would say to them in that time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, God says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Now see, I listened, that's a past tense word, and I helped, that's a past tense word. So he had done that for them in the past, but he's still willing to do that. And this is something I want, if you're one of our guests today, take this personally to what God has to say. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If that's something that you've been putting off, you don't know if you've got tomorrow, don't put it off. Today is the day to do that sort of thing. Every day, it's true for us, but today is a good day. What should we do then if we want to make sure that we're in a right relationship with God? We want to walk out of this building knowing that we are saved. What do we do? Well, Jesus would tell you this. At the end of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16 and in verse 15, Jesus said to his people, his disciples, the apostles, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. The gospel is the story of Jesus, his life, his teachings, his actions, his vicarious death for us on the cross, and his resurrection to prove that this life is not all there is, that there's something greater to follow. If you were willing to believe that, and I'm sure that many of you would believe, yes, I do believe that. What do I need to do other than just believe that? Well, in the very next verse, Jesus told us. He said, well, the one who has believed, there's your belief, and has been baptized. The baptism in the Bible is an immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you haven't done that, that's something you still have a box to check then. And he says, but the one who has done those two things, believed and been baptized, Jesus says, I will save them. In fact, at the moment of that, them doing those things, they'll be saved. So if that's you, if you've been putting off saying, I want to do the things that it's going to get me into heaven. Maybe you think that coming to church is enough. Maybe you think that staying awake through the sermon is enough. But Jesus says it's not. We need to be willing to die to ourself and to our sins, be buried with him in baptism, and raised to walk a new life. Now, if that's what you want to do, this morning we can help you with that. We can take care of that for you. But what you need to do is let us know that. And so come, have a seat on one of these chairs up here, because we're going to stand in just a few moments. And Austin's going to lead us in that song that he chose. And so what I'd like you to do, when we stand, come forward.